Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hey everybody, nice to see you. You've survived the first day at Ad Week. Obviously, Stacey Solomon's competing with Connected Packaging, so glad to see you all here. My name's Paul. I'll be starting chatting, and Ryan will do sort of part of the presentation. Ryan will do the complicated stuff. I'll do the easy stuff. And Ryan is our head of digital and technology and the managing director of the Motive Group. So he will explain his part of the ship when we get there. Just the first thing to say is just a little bit about, you know, my background, which is that my background is somebody who knows nothing about packaging, basically. So that's the first thing you need to know. Although I've learned a few things about sort of bar width reductions and misregistration and a whole variety of other things over time. But my background is Ogilvy, JWT, Saatchi, McCann, Global Strategy Director in ad agencies, a sort of ad agency bloke of things like HSBC, you know, MasterCard. And for my sins, I used to spend a lot of time working on not being able to move this cursor. Oh, there you go, on things like Guinness. Yeah. So this was the thing we did many, many moons ago.
You will find we need nothing more.
So we used to think we did the best advertising in the world, but the interesting thing was, if we'd have had the opportunity to create those experiences and content at the point of consumption in the hands of somebody who was about to drink, we would have killed for that opportunity. And now you can. And that was really the thing that excited us about the opportunity Connected Packaging has. It's an ironic one, really, because obviously most people who are interested in brands know that, you know, branding started with packaging. So whether it be Dove soap and all those beautiful things that we see, or anybody who remembers, knows anything about Coca-Cola will know that the patentable bottle was intended to be the essence of their brand. That's why they did it, you know, so that you could know which brand it was in the dark. You could know which brand it was if it was broken on the floor. Yeah, it was the essence of their branding. And branding expression has moved through many, many stages, through print, through TV, through social. And we think it's, you know, moving into another area that goes back to the packaging, but where the packaging, the physical, is digital. Yeah, and everybody hates that digital expression. But it is really to understand the physical packaging as a digital asset, which changes your perception of just about everything. And what is possible. And essentially, this was the insight that we had about 6 or 7 years ago, which was that one day there'll be a world where every brand can say what it likes about itself to known consumers, the people who matter most, at the point of consumption, and never have to pay anybody for the privilege. And it's a super exciting thing. That's why we started on this journey. And pretty much one pandemic later, native recognition of QR codes in all mobile devices, you know, has proved us to be lucky generals in that sense. And you know, some people are already on this train. And Coca-Cola, anybody who follows them at all, will know that they have made a decision that all of their products all over the world will be connected, because their view is that it's a massively underexploited medium to reach consumers, to capture data and to deliver experiences as a brand. We'll talk a little bit more about them. Coca-Cola aren't the first people to realize this, obviously, because people have been doing this in China for a very long time, and that they have a truly mature connected environment, which is worth huge amounts of money. And anybody who's interested in a presentation about that, we can talk about that. But essentially, what that delivers is huge amounts of stickiness, huge amounts of engagement, lots of commercial value and repeat purchase. And Europe really lags behind. When we first did these numbers, and this is actually number of claimed scans in any year by individual. When we first did these numbers, the US was in actual fact behind Europe, and now it's not. And China, that's, you know, in excess of four scans a day, most people. The other interesting thing is a little bit of marketing theory. Anybody's interested in Byron Sharp, he pointed out that technology was going to create new ways to reach users that we hadn't really thought of. And this is one of those. And that, you know, in as much as everybody walks around with a phone in their right hand, the packages in their left, and the opportunity for connected packaging is to make sure that they join up and that one is designed for the other. And that's really what we've been doing. We've been trying to help people over time say, well, what would I do with that? Well, we say you could, you know, there are benefits of operational, informational, functional, promotional, and inspirational. So, you know, if you want to get somebody to download an app or to receive a coupon, you know, to get closer to the operational sales process of the business, you can do that. If you want to inform people about allergens, about sustainable credentials, you can do that. If you want people to teach people how to use a product, how in my case, to make a cocktail, to create a recipe, you can do that. Increase the functional value of the brand. Promotions is obvious and inspirational to create a brand experience at the point of consumption that you can't do any other way. And as I say, had we been doing that with Guinness, we'd definitely use this channel to create experiences. And then the final thing in this little section is to say, this isn't a choice, by the way, for you. You may think, oh, that'd be interesting one day. You know, it's happening. And the reason it's happening is because every package in the world that has a UPC on it will, over the next 5 to 10 years, be using a QR code to replace the UPC. So in actual fact, the infrastructure for connected packaging will exist on every single piece of product in the world. How you use it and how brands use it will be up to them. So that's a bit of scene setting. I've got a number of media colleagues in the room who, you know, we use the expression pack media. It's an expression I stole from Pete, actually, and because I think it's a good one. And but, you know, people really, in what way is it a medium, really? You know, because media people are suitably skeptical, and I quite like that. Is it really? So, you know, we said to qualify as a medium, you'd have to have an audience, you'd have to have frequency, you'd be back to memorability, you'd have to be able to gain attention in some meaningful way, have commercial outcomes, be integratable into other things that campaigns do, and have an ROI. So this is a little thing that, you know, we did in the US. It's not a particularly little thing. But if you take a brand like Special K in the US, well, in what sense is that a medium? Well, there are, you know, there's 40 million users, roughly speaking, in the US. They sell 300 million boxes a year. It comes out of the cupboard at, on average, 7 times, because that's the notional number of servings. I must confess that when I eat them, it's about 4. So it's just me. Which gives you a huge number of impacts, direct impacts of known users at the point of consumption. And people tend to spend a long time. And you say, well, what do they spend a long time doing? And in what sense is that really a medium? Well, this is just a little example of what we did with Special K in the US. We actually did use it as a medium. We created a lifestyle medium for them, which had lifestyle content, which was about health, physical activity, nourishment. It also, at every point, included promotion, co-partner promotion with other lifestyle well-being brands, but also financial promotion. It allowed us to talk about the sustainability footprint of the brand. It allowed us to launch new products and have direct opportunities to buy. So in that sense, it was a medium. You could do all of the things that you might want to do with marketing to known users from this platform. We can't share too much of the data, but the degree to which it had high click-through rate, high pass onto content, high data exchange, we'll talk a little bit about in generic terms. One of the things about a medium, well, it has to be creatively interesting. Anybody who's putting little black codes on things should just stop. It's not necessary. Nobody will notice them. Nobody will care. A lot of our partner clients are actually getting that all of these things should be a creative invitation. There is no reason that a creative design partner can't create an interesting piece of storytelling around the QR code in a prominent position. You don't just do that because it's creative. The reason you do that is because, in actual fact, if you look at the sort of top left, you get a back a pack with a weak design and a terrible call to action, you get less than 1%, 0.1% scan rate. you can actually get in excess of double-digit scan rates if you take a designed approach. And there, and that piece of packaging on there has got 30% scan rate, which is a click-through rate compared to any other digital media, which is just extreme. The other thing is that connected packaging allows you to do massively creative things, introducing augmented reality at the point of experience. We do this a lot for people. One of the benefits of that is that it is more impactful than broadcast media. Most of the measures are wherever you look are in its favor. We've tested across categories. The number on the left hand side there is the average star rating using System One for impact and memorability, which they equate with commercial success, as you know. And that's the same category with work that we've done in using AR from Connected Packaging. Orlando, who is a great supporter of the world of Connected Packaging, we tested a lot with him, and the opportunities are clear. What sort of things can you do? We've done many things I'm not going to bore you with all these. They go from simple things like the thing that we did for Magnum all across Europe, which is bringing their brand product personality to life at the point of opening the pack and then leading to sustainability. That thing actually has a repeat play rate of about 40%. So people having seen it once replay it. I'm not quite sure why, but they do. The cosmetic brand was using face tracking to allow you to look at the effect of a particular product on your skin and then promote. And then the Mr. E platform was a tap to place execution, and all of those things. Nobody needs to spend very long saying, "Oh, AR is a good thing." But what it tends to do within connected packaging, it creates an attention level, and obviously attention being, you know, everybody's favorite currency, that is orders of magnitude greater than any other digital channel that you will use. And I might well say that again, it's orders of magnitude greater than any other digital channel you could possibly use. And it's not very clever why, in actual fact. It's because it's a consumer who has bought the product, is in the process of consuming it, has decided to scan, and is sort of vaguely interested. Yeah. So, you know, we have lower bounce rates, longer dwell times, higher pass on to additional content, better data exchange, and better e-com performance. It's a real opportunity for anybody who's interested in attention. I won't spend very long on this, just to point out that anybody walks into a shop and goes and buys Coca-Cola, they've knit this into their experience platform of their brand everywhere in the world, every country you go to, around all of their key properties, whether it be Christmas, whether it be music, whether it be their creations platform with co-partners. This is what Unilever are doing. Unilever are saying, hey, why don't we get people who we know are interested in our sustainable products and sell them other sustainable products that we use? Because we know we're never going to use advertising to get them to do that, but we can use the packaging to do that, to cross-fertilize sales to people who are sustainably interested, because we can't afford to do it in advertising. But we can do it from a known consumer who's already bought a sustainable product. And they have a platform that's running its Project Leave. It runs in Canada. It's their big play in terms of D2C. The other thing to say is that, you know, if you live in the world of advertising and campaigns, you'll have your social run for a period of time, your TV will run, et cetera, et cetera. They'll all be periodic. The only thing that you can guarantee can be always on is the packaging. And that packaging can reflect every piece of other communication that's going on. You can direct people from one to the other. So the connected content platform that is on your packaging is always on in a way that no other media channel you can use will be. This is an emerging opportunity, obviously, within the world of retail media. Obviously, its principal benefits are it's data rich, it's direct to consumer, and it's highly attributable. All of those are also true of connected packaging. So you can build campaigns via retail channels that point you to the use of connected packaging to push you back into that retailer's channel at the point of the product being in somebody's hand. All of that is possible using connected packaging. So it's the Pete calls it, you know, the fourth channel, and it's really interesting. Sustainability we won't talk about, but it's connected packaging is a unique place to talk about sustainability. We've worked very hard, and you know, we always invite people's comments. We don't know any client that standardizes their work, the way of doing ROI. One cloud will do it one way, another cloud will do it another. You know, how does it relate to our marketing mix model, blah, blah, blah. We work very hard at attempting to quantify the performance of connected packaging, and it is in every case a positive ROI because the levels of investment are so relatively small, it's almost impossible, whether it be on the basis of a CPC, whether it be a basis of CRM value, to not have a positive reach, positive value over time. So put at its simplest, as a medium, 100% reach of known users at no media cost, sounds pretty good. High retention, first party data, e-commerce, end-to-end campaign integration, creative AR, VR, sustainability as a single point of truth. And then all of that sort of complementary engagement with other channels will come and will become more mature. So we think it's a pretty good set of things. The final thing to say is, well, yeah, but how do I sell that to somebody? You know, whether your model be before, during, after, and always, or whether you use a sort of full funnel model, it is relatively easy to explain the explicit benefits of connected packaging, which is, it's not for non-users. If you're interested in non-users, this is not for you. If you're interested in users who are commercially valuable to you and you want to extend their behavior, there are some very clear direct opportunities about repeat sale, extended sale, data exchange, and social sharing that this will offer you in the context of a planned campaign going forward. So that's me whittering on about the opportunity. And I think Ryan's going to talk a little bit about how you have to make it happen at scale. Yeah, because lots of people have done little things, small things that are on and off. If this is actually going to be truly useful as a medium, it has to be always on everything.
Yeah, thanks. So Paul gets to speak about the exciting bit. I get the kind of boring techie ops bit. So apologies in advance, but we will keep it short. It's fair to say Connected Pack is not going away. And as Paul identifies, there are several reasons for it. Two of the most kind of easy to get your head around is it's a good thing. And also you're going to have to do it. You know, whether it's European legislation or whatever it's going to be, we're in this together now. So I think it's easy to forget the basics sometimes. And we're talking about a physical medium. Yes, there is a digital footprint, which we all must have, but ultimately there is something physical. Now, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of the digi guys I speak to think in servers and APIs and all that kind of stuff, which is great, but it's not about packaging. And that's kind of an interesting problem that we've seen over years of doing this. In fact, you know, Paul and I have worked on most of the examples visualized there, not Guinness, because I think I was probably a bit too young for that one. But in terms of where we are going, I think it's quite clear. And the state today, as we observe it, is very disconnected. And there's a degree of irony there for a connected packaging opportunity. Disconnected people, again, most of the times that you're speaking to departments, you know, the print guys aren't speaking to the digi guys. There is no kind of love between them in a lot of organizations. The processes, well, what processes? So we're helping a lot of brands write those processes at the moment. And the technology, I mean, put simply, most of the dot-com architecture that brands have today was built for 10, 20, 30 pages. If we think about every single version of every single pack that we have within most of the companies, we're talking, in some cases, tens of thousands of pages. So it strikes us that we need to do more. And unfortunately, the answer isn't to just solve those problems, because more is coming. So speed and scale. And again, whether we're looking at the European legislation surrounding digital passports or products, we're going to have to do this at an extremely granular level, more so than most people are doing today. And we're going to have to do that with operational simplicity, because there's no point making this hard. It's not going to work. New tech, well, you know, MarTech, we all hate it, but we all have to have it. So it's about deploying the right stuff well. And in terms of harmonizing to regulation, it's quite simple. Again, there's going to be more of this, you know, whether it be legally enforced or kind of guidelines that we should all be looking at. It is definitely not going away. So we have a simple message. And if I can leave you with anything, it would be just to think product first, because it actually solves a lot of this for you. And most of the companies we're working with, whether multinational sort of cereal brands or whatever it might be, have got the data you need. And if you think about what you have to have in terms of a product, you have a lot of this information already in PLMs, PIMs, these sort of massive information systems. It's time to liberate that data and bring it into the pack. Because it's a kind of a simple idea, is that if we have one pack, we need one code, we need one URL, we need one experience. And that is what we're seeing today. So in most cases, a lot of brands aren't going down to, certainly not a serialized level, but they're going down to a SKU level, a range level, which is fine. So we have a code that supports all of those things. QC, bit questionable. The print guys are probably better at it than most of the digi guys we speak to. Experiences, well, we still see, unfortunately, people pointing the wrong codes to the wrong places. And of course, analytics, well, that joyful subject we all know and love, ultimately, we've had to do quite a lot of work around that to get it working. Now, what does that mean? So practically, we're in a world today where the volume of products people are working on, and maybe at a brand level, it's a brand within an organization saying, I'd like to do this thing. And then, of course, we're stitching together the requirements, whether it's existing technology, you know, we use this CMS or we use that, whatever it is, but it is certainly not integrated or connected. Now, you can kind of get away with it. However, when you move to tomorrow and the landscape is quite clear, once you start to scale up the number of products and the volume, this becomes unsustainable. This becomes such a big problem where we're already seeing people pointing code to the wrong places, you know, packs having the wrong things on them. You cannot afford to get this wrong. And it's not just the embarrassment of showing the wrong information on the wrong pack. Some of this, again, is legislative. So what do we think? Well, we have a really, really simple answer for this because we kind of got bored over the last 5 years of trying to stitch this together in other ways. Connected packaging has to, it must have connected infrastructure. So we have a view which goes a bit like this. If you are an organization and you have mature back office systems, you can create a new product, you can add it into those data sets, and through a system which we are currently engineering, the idea being, one product has one URL, has one code, has one brand experience created immediately and automatically. There is no thinking about this process. The analogy I'd like to use would be a car. You turn the engine on, it moves, if it's a good day. But what you don't think about is how the engine works. And that's what we're trying to get. We want to make it invisible technology so that a lot of people in the room as brand marketers and advertisers can look at a simple line and say every product everywhere is connected. So, fair enough to say, we are working on this technology at the moment. The idea is press go, get everything done. We're not here to make it more complicated. We're here to simplify it and simplify it quickly for you.
Thank you. So that sort of is our view that you know, this is very present. There is somebody in every FMCG organization you will know already talking about this. And whether it be in supply chain management or whether it be in CRM or whether it be in promotions or whatever, there is somebody in the business that is already doing this. And the way to operationalize it most successfully is to plan for all outcomes from day one. And one of those necessary outcomes, one of the particularly desirable outcomes, is the pack as medium outcome. So thinking one's way through that is a real opportunity. And the truth is, none of this is going to go backwards. Yeah, this, you know, we all know that once upon a time brands did one-offs. You know, there's some great work in the booth category where people would create, you know, interesting creative one-offs. We have partners in other categories who are scaling everywhere but aren't really building the back-end infrastructure into their own data platform. We have companies who are doing that, and Coca-Cola have already started to use it as a differentiation platform to help them compete across all of their engagement properties. The issue is not whether this is coming, it's how one makes it most usable. And as we say, you know, when we first got into this, we just thought, this is so exciting because it allows a brand to go back and take control of its relationship with its consumer at the true point of engagement and build from there. And you know, we think it's a pretty exciting thing that's alive and kicking. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @advertisingweek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.